It's time for Deputy Leader Fletcher Tabateau from the New Zealand First Party.
Fletcher Tabateau joins us again this week. We talk about parliamentary urgency, the UN and drug reform. He'd just come out of a select committee meeting, so I started by asking him what that was about.
Well, the House has gone into urgency or extended hours this morning. So normally the Foreign Affairs Select Committee would sit from maybe 9 till 12 or 9 till 1 and debate legislation or hear submissions. But we had to just do an hour slot this morning, and that was basically here to hear one more submission on the Reserve Bank Act, which is a slight modification of how the Reserve Bank legislation changes. So what are they called? The Federated Farmers Group came in specifically this morning to give their submission on our proposed changes to the Reserve Bank Act.
Right. So what are the proposed changes?
Currently we have a kind of contract with the Reserve Bank. The government has a contract with the Reserve Bank which says you guys independently manage inflation, and you keep it between 1 and 3%, and that's your job. What we're saying is actually around the world, what's happening with more and more central banks or reserve banks is they're being asked to consider the impact of changing the official cash rate, which changes interest rates, which makes money cheaper or more expensive. They're being asked to consider what is the impact of those changes on employment, which is what this government is doing. Rather than just inflation and changing interest rates to try and fix inflation, we are asking the Reserve Bank Governor to give consideration to what that change might do in terms of employment levels. So that's been the debate at the moment.
I see. Okay. And so what does happen when Parliament goes into urgency? Isn't Trevor Mallard looking into changing the rules around that?
I'm not sure, to be honest.
Okay.
We've gone into what's called extended hours just to progress several bills. I know the Maritime Safety Bill, I think the... I'm speaking on a couple of commerce bills, criminalisation of cartels this morning. So, yeah, just opportunity to get more legislation through the House.
Okay. So I think it's fine if you don't know much, but I don't actually know much about it either. But I think Trevor Mallard is looking to push for reform of parliamentary urgency, and I'm not sure what that would mean, but I guess he wants it to be used in more specific ways of genuine emergency rather than kind of going into that willy-nilly, I suppose.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I haven't been part of that conversation.
Would that be a thing, though, in terms of, I think, the criticism or the I guess, not the criticism in this case, they're quite pleased at the idea of the reforms, but the taxpayers' union are quite happy because that would mean less money going into things like that, parliamentary urgency.
The taxpayers' union need to realise that that's the cost of democracy. It's what we do when we go into urgency is pass legislation, which is designed to either free up sums of money or improve people's lives or make it easier for business to do their job. So Crown operational costs are a tiny fraction of the government, of the New Zealand economy. So I wouldn't be debating the numbers on urgency with the union there.
I guess, what happened this morning was essentially that another group had the opportunity to have their say, right? Which, if you do have to go into extended hours, that's probably better democratically.
Yeah, right. So the extended hours this morning... let's be honest, if we're going to be nitpicky about the cost of Parliament's time, the National Party put up what are called SOPs, tens of them, to the Electoral Amendment Bill so that they could literally take up the House's time and slow the progress of the bill down just for the purpose of, filibustering, which is literally to take up the House's time. So, if we're going to be nitpicky about the parliamentary resource. I'd be critical of that. But you're absolutely right. This is New Zealand's parliamentary system, and forever and always, let's make sure that the government doesn't have free rein on decisions and are always held account by the opposition, whoever's government and whoever's opposition at the time. Because as cumbersome and as frustrating as it is sometimes, it's probably still the best democratic system in the world operating today. So let's make sure we honour that.
Okay, so actually what I was trying to talk to you about today was, I guess, New Zealand's presence at the UN this week.
Yeah.
How's that going?
What an amazing week it's been for the Prime Minister of New Zealand. Apparently the rest of the world loves her even more than we do. she went there to give her first keynote address to the United Nations, right? But the message is, in that particular instance, is about kind of what Winston and I do when we go out around the world and have these discussions around rules-based engagement and using systems for countries to deal with one another. So I think she used language like we're a global community, we're a global village, and we should be doing the best that we can to get on with one another, to make it easier to do things together, rather than President Trump is advocating for a kind of a breaking away from a system that most of the world has been working towards for the last few decades. And I see in the headlines that our Prime Minister's kind of been called the anti-Trump, but I think we're just more about that rules-based system, because for a small country like New Zealand, we don't get to, have big arguments like China and the US do. We don't get to throw our weight around. We really rely on good systems, good process, rules that all the countries agree on in order to do trade, to work with one another. And so we're a big advocate for that. And, It's a well-supported idea with most of the rest of the world as well. So she seems to be the figurehead of that kaupapa, which is lovely to see.
Something else that came up while the Prime Minister's been there is that the Prime Minister didn't sign on to the International Action Against Drugs group or something that they've sort of proposed, and National's been quite critical of that. Where does New Zealand First stand on it?
I'm not sure what that was, my apology.
No, that's fine. That's not your area. It's just.
She. I have a vague feeling that.
I think that the idea behind
combat
it
on drugs and drugs itself, which is kind of, well, that's one way to deal with it, but actually, it's about education. It's about support. It's about making sure people don't feel the need to go there in the first place. That is my recollection of the government's position there.
I think because National's obviously the war on drugs.
New Zealand First is as well, but at least we'll have the conversation at the start of the equation, whereas National will refuse to do anything to help support people with addiction or even combat gangs and drug distribution in New Zealand. That was too expensive in their mind, but then they'll go down hard on people who get caught up in that. There's no, and that's incredibly expensive, whereas New Zealand First, whilst we might be hard on those who do crime, would be more interested in going after the distributors, for example. We absolutely agree, and as part of this government, we say, let's make sure that rather than arrest someone for taking drugs, if it's the first offence, how do we support them? How do we transition them out? How do we uffy them?
That was Fletcher Tabatou. I just want to note that it was Donald Trump who put forward the proposition to reignite the war on drugs. It was a document called the Global Call to Action on the World Drug Problem. The document requires the countries which signed to develop national action plans to reduce the demand for illicit drugs, cut off supply at their borders, and strengthen international cooperation. US media are reporting that some countries will sign it, not because they agree with it, but because they don't want to antagonize Trump. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern stated that New Zealand would not be among those signing.
That was Deputy Leader Fletcher Tabatou from the New Zealand First Party.